First of all, love the movie.
Oh, thanks.
It literally was on my top 10 list of last year, but like as an addendum, because it wasn't technically coming out till
right,
now.
Yeah.
And I was like, guys, you have to see this movie. Like, I'm right. totally cheating. Like, I'm putting it on the list, whatever. So where the hell does this come from? Like, where does this story idea come from?
Well, I think, you know, it starts as like one idea. So it started as, I mean, you're right, what you know. It started as me just, my scripts always start off as like the mundane. So it's just started off as a guy working like the worst like temp job that I worked at. You know, I temped at a mortgage company for a year.
Right.
And did a lot of those things that Marty does in the movie with, I was in charge of ordering the office supplies, and
excellent.
No one really knew what I was doing with those.
You're just like, all right, free range, whatever.
It was just like something to break up the boredom, and it was like, see how much I could get away with.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it, for me, it's like I get an idea for just anything, and it's like, okay, I'm going to try and figure out how to work this into this movie, even if it doesn't make any sense right now. There's a way to connect those together. So that's kind of how everything is that I do, is I just, it's not like I get an idea and be like, oh, that's going to be great for something down the road. It's
right.
Like, no, I'm going to use that right now while it's hot in my head and just squeeze it in into the themes and the story somehow. So yeah, it's just like a mashup of me ripping off other movies and coming up with weird ideas and just shoving them all together.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Where... What time period does this story exist?
Mm-hmm.
Because it reads very 90s
yeah.
to me. And, like, so I, you know, I watched it again, like, 2 days ago,
uh-huh.
Which was awesome to revisit. Still hilarious.
Wow.
Hits every mark the second time around a year later. Because
yeah.
it literally was a year ago that
yeah,
I saw.
Yeah.
Which is crazy.
That was South By or something.
At New Directors of Films.
Yep. Yeah, that was a year ago.
Yep. And it's still funny. Hits every note. Still resonates. But, like, there's these moments where you're like, okay, well, payphones. Like,
yeah.
When's the last time we saw?
I know everybody. Everybody asks what year it is, and
yeah.
I think it's like kind of in the way Pulp Fiction. You're kind of not really sure. Like,
right. Exactly.
Samuel L. Jackson seems brought from a different time, and I've always
for
really
sure.
liked that because, you know, sometimes I don't like to ever have my movies dated.
Mm.
It's like, oh, that's. Look at that iPhone 5. That's obviously
right.
a 2013 movie.
Right, right.
And I also just like to eliminate certain technology, like iPhones, because I think they're too easy to solve problems with, where
for sure.
a character doesn't know how to get somewhere or can't reach someone, so they just reach in their pocket
and
all answers
computer.
Are solved. And, like, the worst scene in any movie is where they're going into a laptop, like, researching. Like, it's just such a lazy, boring, you know, storytelling device for me. So I like to kind of just eliminate the convenience of that technology, and I'm just really into older things, so
yeah.
But I mean, when you're shooting, like when you're making a movie for this kind of budget, it's not like you can control what cars happen to drive by.
Sure.
So those things happen, which probably adds to the confusion, and it's not like when we're shooting in the office that we have the money or the ability to take everybody's flat screen monitor and swap it out for some old clunky thing. I'm not trying to do some like retro throwback movie.
Sure.
I'm just trying to just do what I like, you know. Like,
yeah.
I don't like Xbox. I like, you know, Nintendo. So
yeah.
That's what they're gonna play.
Right.
And,
right.
And
I was like, the Power Glove is so like.
And, like, I don't even have like. Look at this phone I'm using. I mean, it's like
awesome.
I'm not into like new technology.
Right.
So that's just
also part of like your thing.
And the Power Glove was always like the most aesthetically cool video game accessory.
Yeah, it's a piece of crap, but it was amazing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's the best
exactly.
thing.
It's just so cool.
It's so cool.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm just taking everything I like and shoving them all together into one movie, I guess.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
That's a great way to sort of, like, express yourself and, like, make it easy on yourself in a way.
Yeah.
What, it looks like a lot of people who are behind the scenes are also in the film.
Yeah.
So is it the majority, maybe besides Josh, you know, you can tell me about your relationship with Josh and how you found him, but, like, everybody else in the film is, like, people that you know and were producers and all that stuff? Like, everybody
yeah.
was sort of, like, in the film.
Yeah, everybody works multiple jobs. I mean, our crew is, the credits are way longer than they make it seem like we have this big cast and crew, but
right.
the crew was maybe, like, 8 of us.
Yeah.
And the producer is also running sound, and another producer is also the supervisor.
Yeah.
And then we also, so if one, if, so let's say one producer was a producer, and he was also holding the boom, so I credit him that, and then if they were also like an extra or one of the office person, then they are in the credits, and their name is, the letters in their name are all scrambled to make a new name.
Interesting.
So we did that. There's one whole screen that's all just fake names based on all of our names mixed around.
That's amazing.
It's mostly you know, I don't like to, I always hate when I watch a movie and it's like, written by Joel Petraeus, directed by Joel Petraeus, starring Joel Petraeus,
right.
Edited by Joel Petraeus, color correction by Joel Petraeus. Like, it's like, come on, man. It's like,
yeah.
Either it makes it, this looks like amateur hour, and it's also like some big fucking ego trip.
Right.
For some person to make them feel like they are the master of all, when it's not like that, so.
Right. You clearly need help.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, it's all of the cast and crew we are, yeah, we just kind of all did multi things, and if we needed someone to just walk through the frame, it's like, put down that boom for a second, just walk through, yep. Somebody else will hang on to it.
Yep.
So, yeah, and a lot of people were helping out just for like a day. We just needed someone to help us paint something or set up a shelf or something. So,
right.
So the credits look a lot more extravagant. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, that's just kind of how we work. But Josh has kept... I like to keep him just as an actor. He has no double duties. Like, he has enough on his plate.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's just the actor.
How did you find him?
He's a musician in Grand Rapids, first and foremost.
Interesting.
I first met him, or at least saw him. He played at the coffee shop across from my apartment in college. And he was a real Bob Dylan type man, just by himself with a guitar and the harmonica around his neck, and looked like he was taken right out of, you know, 1965. And so I was always kind of into his music, and then he, you know, get a band together, and like him on stage is just, he's just like oozing this presence. He's like Michael Jackson and David Bowie up there. I mean, he is just,
that's crazy.
He's like this wild man on stage, and it was like, I go to a show, I was like, I don't know, I kind of knew him, and we had a lot of common friends. I was like, I don't know if that dude can act or not, but I'm going to convince him to be in one of my movies, because I just want a little of that persona.
Yeah.
Luckily, he was able to act.
So. Yeah, no, he's amazing, like, he's great.
Yeah, we started slow in Coyote, he doesn't have any dialogue. I just wanted the camera to watch him, just hold on him, and so Ape was the first real dive into dialogue and interaction with other people, and he's just got it. You know, I think most musicians are you know, they're performers first and foremost, so they just understand timing and rhythm,
yeah,
things that are like really necessary in being a good actor, and they're not coming from some school that tells them how to act. They're
right.
Just coming, you know. He's got soul, you know, something
yeah.
You can't really learn.
Yeah, I feel like you either have that
yeah,
innate ability,
just,
or
because yeah.
You can't teach that, not
yeah,
really.
He's just got something, so, yeah, luckily we're, like, really good friends, so we don't have to, you know, when we're making it, it's not like I have to give him a lot of direction. It's usually like, just do something like, you know, and he's like, yeah, I got it.
That's
all right,
awesome.
Cool. So,
you guys have your own like language,
yeah,
and
sure.
He gets your style.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
That's super helpful.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be tough to make movies without him, Theo.
Right?
He's snatched up by Alejandro Iñárritu.
Really?
He's been in Canada for like 5 months working on this movie with DiCaprio and Tom Hardy.
Oh my God! We just found out about that too.
Yeah.
Like that's. Huge.
Yeah, so he's one of the main guys in the
posse.
Good
for him.
That's amazing.
That's exciting. That's good for you.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it'll boost sales.
Yeah.
I don't know, but no, I feel I'm his biggest fan, so
that's
I'm
awesome.
Couldn't be more excited for that guy.
That's super cool.
Yeah, it's a hell of a way to go from Petraeus to Iñárritu. You know, a crew of 8 to a crew of, I don't know, 80,
God
800.
Yeah,
no
God only knows. Yeah.
Yeah,
so. That's amazing. So I didn't even realize that you were Derek until the credits.
No, good.
I didn't even like cross my mind.
Good.
So that's amazing.
Yeah.
Is now that character, mm-hmm. is that based on more of you?
Well,
or,
Marty and Derek are my dark side and my light side.
Fantastic.
Kind of extreme and amplified, mm-hmm.
Sure.
I think. Like, I'm not like a dick like Marty, but you know, I have that anger and frustration.
Sure.
I don't think I'm like a mega geek like Derek, but I love the things he likes and relate. You know, like, I just relate to both those characters, and
yeah.
I know them. I just
yeah.
know those guys,
yeah.
and I know those parts of me, and so I think it's a loving portrayal of two guys who actually I think are very, very much one and the same. It's just they've gone different directions.
Yeah, for sure. They're
yeah.
incredibly relatable. Like, in
yeah,
I mean. I think, especially for those of us who grew up with, like, the Nintendo generation
yeah.
and the horror movies and
yeah,
Slipknot,
sure.
like, that
that's,
whole era.
That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah,
you know,
it, like, totally resonates with you, even if you, like, weren't into any of those things. You get that.
Yeah.
You friends who do that.
They brought out Mountain Dew a few months ago.
That's amazing. Sometimes I wonder how that exists anymore.
I actually brought it out. I don't know if they know that I actually don't drink Mountain Dew in real life. I love it, but... I gave it up, so when I had a drink in the movie, we filled
oh,
it with Sprite.
God.
So I was.
Oh, did you refill? Did
yeah,
you change
it out?
Out?
And then poured Sprite
Good
with
call.
A little food coloring, because I just.
Well, it's like acid. I feel
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
Like,
no, I don't drink caffeine actually.
Yeah, no,
I don't
nor
drink
do.
Caffeine.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah,
they're putting this out. I'm hoping someone's gonna be able.
You can sign it, and someone will take it from you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like you should bring that with you tonight.
Yeah.
The screening,
sure.
People will be stoked. But yeah, no, yeah, I love that they're so relatable in like different ways. Like, you get both those characters. I feel like we've all been both those
yeah.
characters, and they would be people that I would want to hang out with.
Yeah, and I mean, it can go either way. A lot of people are like, "Oh, Marty's the biggest asshole," you know, and I get that. Like, you just. You know, you either get him or you don't. So if you can't relate to him, you see him as an asshole. But, you know, ultimately, I just want you to hopefully understand where he's coming from.
Oh,
so you
yeah.
know he's not, like, a villain.
Right.
Know? He's just, like, a guy who's misdirected, you know, and
yeah.
anger and frustrations. And, you know, so I just want people to understand him. Yeah, I don't feel like you have to like him, really.
Right.
But just kind of know where he's coming from and understand why he's acting that way.
Yeah, I feel like he's definitely a character that, like, he takes the damn the man
yeah.
concept to, like, the nth degree.
Yeah.
And, but, like, we all want to do the things that he does.
Yeah.
But, like, he actually does them.
Yeah.
And so, like, he's a hero. In this
yeah,
like, weird way, he's
to
a total
like
hero.
You, I guess he's a hero. To people like me, he's a hero, too.
Yeah.
But some people just don't understand his motivations. I think because, you know, he's also a character that, at least to me, is like, he, as much as he hates the man and hates the system, he doesn't understand what he's rebelling. He doesn't understand who the man is.
Right.
And that's a big part of his problem, is he's so mad, but he doesn't know why he's mad. He doesn't really exactly know who he's mad at.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, one of the big things I was trying to get across. It was like, it started off, like, the original script was way more political. It was, like, super political.
Interesting.
Where it was, like, very obvious that it was about kind of the Occupy movement
yeah.
and some of the ignorance
yeah, yeah.
that goes into the protesters.
For sure.
They don't really, they're, like, got their signs on Wall Street picketing, but they're also, like, sipping on Starbucks, and it's like...
Right.
And that's kind of what Marty is to me. He's not really sure what he's fighting about, and he's not sure why he's angry, but he's...
Right.
He's angry at something, and he's just
right.
totally kind of...
Like, this is his weird way of, like, lashing out.
Yeah.
Like, a power struggle.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I totally agree with you. Actually, I live on Wall Street.
Oh, really?
Literally live on Wall Street.
I didn't know anybody lived on Wall Street.
Totally, I know. It's crazy. And ironically, there's only one bank down there right now. Most people don't know. All banks are in Midtown now. There's only one bank on Wall Street anymore.
I never go to Wall Street.
No one does.
I don't know what it looks like anymore.
It's crazy. But, yeah, my husband actually works at a bank.
Yeah.
And so literally living on Wall Street and watching Occupy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to, like, chastise those people, because, like, I get where they're coming
yeah.
from, but they don't get it. They
right.
don't. And I think that there's a lot that goes along with, like, you know, sort of villainizing a system you don't actually understand.
Yeah. And that's,
so, yeah.
That's Marty.
Yeah,
that's
for
Marty.
Sure.
And,
yeah.
I mean, he has legitimate beef. I'm just not sure he's able to articulate that.
Right.
And that kind of just plays off into the whole generation of people who aren't able to articulate what they're upset about. And,
yeah.
I'm not trying to make big broad statements about him representing an entire generation.
Right.
But
it's not a like let's get down on millennials.
Yeah, that's kind of where he's coming from.
Yeah.
In my head, at least.
Yeah. No.
But
totally
again, I can make this movie and say this is what it's about and this is what I. But it doesn't really matter. It's whatever the audience thinks.
Totally.
I can't control the way somebody else is going to see it, and the way they're going to interpret it is what it's about to them. So sometimes I feel like me trying to explain who these characters are really is 100% meaningless, because I should never have to tell somebody what it's about. They'll take their own meaning from it.
Everybody's going to have a slightly different takeaway, whether that's, you know, a variant on generation or whatever.
Yeah.
But just at face value, it's just super fun and sit back and watch the weirdness sort of unfold.
Yeah, I hope it works on multiple levels.
It totally does.
I'm always trying to make some kind of a statement, but not be overt about it, and make it kind of a entertaining art film, something that you don't have to understand.
Right.
Something you don't have to dissect, but if you want to dissect it, there's some meat and bones there. So,
right. Yeah. I'm
trying to kind of navigate both of those things.
Totally successful. I think.
Good.
Totally. I want to know about the spaghetti scene, because I literally just sat and just laughed. But there's something so perfect about it that I couldn't really put my finger on. What is the breakdown of that scene?
Yeah, some people laugh, some people squirm, some people walk out. If they're going to walk out, that's the scene.
That's the moment where they walk out.
So I put it kind of later in the film.
Yeah.
Where hopefully you're a little more invested.
Yeah.
It just started out as, in the script, it's a Clockwork Orange knockoff, where there's that one scene in Clockwork Orange where Alex, toward the end, is the first time he's cleaned up, and he's in a robe, and he's eating spaghetti, and he's seems like he's happy and content. So I wanted to put Marty in this one moment where he's in this clean environment, and he's out of the norm, and he's happy. And so the script just says that Marty has the best plate of spaghetti he's ever eaten. One of the producers brought one plate of spaghetti for this shot. I was like, yeah, that's fine. We just need one. It's just going to be two bites, and I'll say cut, and we'll roll out. And I just didn't expect that Josh was going to just start shoveling it in. And once he did, I just kind of stood back and was watching in awe, and everyone was looking at me cut, right? And I was like, no, this is my favorite scene in the movie.
Right?
And I don't know where it's going. I don't know how I'm going to end this shot, but this is it. This is the best in the movie. So he just kept shoveling it in, and I just stood back and just watched. And I didn't know how. I always like to end a scene with something, and I was just like, I just whispered to him, I was like, now laugh. And he goes, ha! And I was like, cut.
Perfect,
and
done.
And it all out.
Oh, yeah, that's
and,
the worst.
I went up and gave him a hug, and I was like, that's beautiful. I could never have written that scene.
Yeah.
And that's the best. So, I'm out to kind of mess with the audience a little bit and see what happens. So I think that's a weird experiment to see how an audience reacts to just watching a guy eating spaghetti.
Right? Because
yeah.
Long takes in general are you don't really, they're kind of off-putting.
Yeah.
Because you're not used to it anymore. They don't.
It just starts to feel you start feeling something.
Yeah.
What's happening.
Right.
So it's a good moment for the audience to just kind of take in what they're watching and not have to analyze any story. Just sit back and let's have dinner with Marty here.
Right. Let's just be with this character for just a moment in time.
It's really important. Really important.
Yeah.
To have those things where you can just, you're not trying to drive a story. You're not trying to move anything forward. You're just hanging out with the character.
Yeah.
That's exactly what that is.
I think that's such a wonderful way to just relate to those quiet moments where you're really, you're getting to know. You're getting to know, he's like,
I do not dislike dogs. I do not like them. They are just.
I tolerate them.
They're very neutral. And they pick up on that, so they.
He's like, I'm just chilling. Just
this
hanging.
This is my obligatory thing. This is as much as I'm going to do.
That's good. He's totally digging it. It's fine. That's amazing. How long was your process for this? So from idea, pen to page, or however you, whatever your process is.
Yeah. I think it was 6 months of writing it. We're in no rush. We don't have a studio demanding anything.
Right.
And which is gives us the freedom to really take our time. So it's like writing for 6 months, and then the big luxury is part of that writing process, we have like 8 months of rehearsing.
Wow.
Crazy.
Wow, that's like unheard of.
The first draft that I brought to rehearsals changed, 180 degrees by the time we were done rehearsing and able to improv and change lines up and see what worked, what didn't work. And so Josh is really important in that part of the process, just kind of, you know, breathing life into the character and adding things that I never thought of. So by the time we were ready to shoot, which was a 30-day shoot, I mean, after rehearsing, we're all on board, so we just, we move very quickly. And then it also, once you know things that well, you're able to kind of, gives you a little wiggle room on set to kind of goof around a little bit more and just roll with it. So it was like 6 months writing and rehearsing and then shooting for 30 days and then editing for like 4 months or something. So I don't like to rush anything. So yeah. I like to take my time. If I'm going to spend all this effort and money on something, I want to make sure it's exactly as close to my idea of what I wanted as possible.
For sure.
And not compromise too much.
Yeah, I think it's almost better to not be like under the thumb, of like a studio or whatever, because you can do, what you want, not to compromise.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is seems so much better.
No one's saying yes, or no one's telling me no, you cannot have a 6 minute shot of a guy eating spaghetti.
Right, exactly.
Never fly in a studio.
Right. Where they're like, you have to end it with a chase scene,
exactly.
Like telling you what to do.
Yeah.
It's gotta be way better.
Yeah, so you can just kind of just do whatever we want to do, and yeah, it's the only way I know how to work, though, actually.
Yeah, it's probably, that's good, though.
Yeah.
For an audience, I mean, for people who, like, actually appreciate where they have to, like, think about a movie.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, the blockbustery,
force-fed and formulaic. And,
here's a giant robot.
I don't even know what Buzzard is. I mean, it's labeled a dark comedy.
Right.
But it's not, I wouldn't say it's comedic, but it's also, I'm getting that signal there. it's people need to put a label to something, I think, to kind of process it. And for Buzzard, I never wanted that. But ultimately, when you're trying to reach an audience, you have to figure out a way to sell it in one or two words. So,
right.
I like to keep my comedy and my drama and my violence all separate, but put them together in one movie.
Right.
Not in the same scene. So it's very confusing for audiences when they see this, and they're laughing, and then sometimes they're kind of wincing at like violence or something. So
right.
It kind of just keep people on their guard a little
bit. I think that's a much better way to go into, especially like an independent environment. It's just like just like sit back and get ready to process as much as you want. Enjoy it as you will. Don't throw labels at it, but it's super good. Before they kick me out.
Yeah.
How much, because you had such a good relationship with basically with everybody involved, how much leeway did you feel you could give Josh, like improv wise?
Yeah, I give him full rein, but most of that comes during rehearsal.
Mm.
When we're actually shooting, he's got a really good work ethic, so he likes to stick to the script because he knows that's what we're aiming for. So he's very much in character and very stone cold. So much to the point where when I'm playing Derek, all I was basically trying to do in every scene was make him laugh and break character. Just see how much I can push this guy and make him laugh. And he never would ever break character.
I know,
laugh. I was always changing up the line, saying something a little bit different.
Just to keep
him seeing out of the corner of my eye, the crew, like, all cracking up. But Josh is just stone cold. And that's just so fun to be able to mess with him. But him totally in character. So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Total success. I think it's so unique and like interesting and weird and like all of the above. I'm a huge fan.
Awesome.
So I'm stoked to get to talk to you and like really like get the inside scoop and
that's the inside scoop.
That's it. That's nice.